gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Hump Day Dave Allen. I wasn't sure how that was going to sound, Dave, but Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Wednesday, March 27th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, geez, I'm not quite sure how to react now. do I say happy hump day, Melody? I did. There you go. Happy hump day.
Oh, you too. And we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs, as she does each and every Wednesday. And she's got lots to tell us today. But first, we're gonna do the market report. One thing, Dave, is every time I see that, if I happen to be watching television and that camel comes in, it's just it brings a whole different meaning. Does anybody say it is?
Well, you know, my son and some friends just got back from India, and they had a couple of photos of their camel riding adventure, brief as it was. And as soon as I saw it, I said, just what day of the week was that you were riding? And lo and behold, it was a Wednesday. So there you have it.
All righty. Well, today we have gold. It knows what day it is. It's pulled back a little bit today, 650 at 1309.70. Silver was down 15 cents at 1535. Platinum was down $4 at 857. And somebody took the steam and the wind and everything else out of palladium today. It was down $102. At 1,445, so that was down almost 7%. So, highly unlikely palladium can recover from the beating that it's gotten in the past 2 days. You know, almost $200 just in a couple of days down. You know, and the low they had today was actually 1,394. So a huge swing in palladium, and you know, I read all these articles, oh, palladium can go higher, and so yeah, it might, but it's certainly going to be having a big dip first. But anyway, the USDX today was up 9 at 96.90. crude oil was down 57 at 59.37. paper markets today, the Dow was down 32 points at 25,625. NASDAQ was down 48 at 76.43. And the S&P was down 13 to 28.05. 10-year yield, boy, that took a beating too, 2.37. We just might dip below 2 the way this keeps going down also. Do you think that's a possibility?
Yes.
And that was down 0.04 today. That's a real possibility. And they will do anything. In fact, there'll probably be a rate cut, you know, if that thing keeps going. So anyway, an interesting day in the markets. Finally, Bitcoin just got up over a little, it was up 2.5% today. It just popped 4,000. And so they're just going from, you know, one investment to another. And where we're going to go is we're going to go to Wendy Wilson, Apothecary Herbs. She is your investment in staying healthy. Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Melody. And hey, Dave.
Hi there.
I thought we'd talk about some of the United States are moving forward to strip a lot of the vaccine exemptions. Washington State, for instance, their medical association has approved of a new Senate bill, 5481, which will modify their state's vaccine exemptions. The state legislator is making some changes to the law, which the states now accept exemptions on the grounds of medical, religious, philosophical, or even personal objection. But the new law would disallow any parent or legal guardian to object to vaccine treatments recommended by physicians or the government based on philosophical or personal objections. So you'll have the medical and the religious grounds that will remain, but under the new bill, the parent or legal guardian would have to demonstrate membership in a religious body or church in which the teachings of vaccination medical treatment aren't accepted. By the way, I did get input from a vaccine attorney in the state of North Carolina, Alan Phillips. He said that statement in the bill is illegal. He says if people just understood that their religious exemption has a lot of power and it's very easy to stand on those religious rights and get exempt on the grounds of religion. So he is probably a specialty in the field. So according to the Washington State Medical Association, the state's vaccine rates were instrumental in prompting them to make the changes. In 2017 and 18, there was only an 86% compliance with childhood vaccines in this state, which is below the health authority's accepted rate of 95%. So the Washington, the numbers were climbing in the non-compliance area, and so they wanted to look at their exemptions. Now, they also noticed that medical authorities in Washington noticed that states like California and Vermont that got rid of all but medical exemption had non-compliance rates significantly drop. So that's what they're shooting for, 95% compliance across the board. And these laws are coming into effect in the wake of a report that came out in March in the Journal of the Clinical Microbiology, which stated that, remember the measles outbreak that we saw in certain areas of the country that they were so worried about? Do you remember that in the news?
Sure. Yes. In fact, yeah. There's just been some new news on that too, I guess.
Yes. The journal article said that the outbreaks were due to the measles MMR vaccine that was causing the outbreaks. It wasn't unvaccinated people. It wasn't natural cases of measles. It was the vaccine doing it. So the scientists learned that the vaccine was causing a reaction and the outbreaks were not from natural measles cases. So apparently the vaccine causes what they stated as a genotype reaction. And what that means is the serum has been modified and the genetic makeup of the disease has been altered. So the genes within a disease have certain expressions, which in turn determines the character trait of the action. So the more serious concern is when you start mixing genetically altered diseases with other ingredients or other pathogens within the same serum, then you get what the scientists are calling a volatile mixture. So the National Library of Medicine and Institute of Health did report that there are at least 5 different RNA strains of measles and drug companies are using them. So this explains why outbreaks may be restricted to just a specific region of the country depending on which serum was shipped there. And of course, the public's really not supposed to know that the drug companies will test these serums this way on the public. You're not supposed to know that. If you'll recall, in the 1950s and 60s, it came out later that certain states received vaccine serums tainted with monkey cells, which caused children later as adults to develop cancer. So not every state got that serum, and this is why certain populations didn't get the cancer. And I think this is a smart strategy by the drug companies that provides them some added cover benefit. You know, the plausible deniability that, you know, it's not the vaccines or everybody would have the same health problem. So the measles outbreaks could have gone on to be blamed on people not being vaccinated had the scientists not stumbled upon this genotype and wrote an article on it. I got an update out of New York. Have you seen the update what they're doing in Rockland County, New York, with regards to measles? Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
Apparently, effective Wednesday, that'd be today, anyone who's under 18 years of age and unvaccinated against the measles will be barred from public places until a declaration expires in 30 days or until they receive an MMR vaccine. So that means they cannot be in schools, sidewalks, malls, churches, public transportation if you don't have your vaccination card.
Was that the place where, maybe that's what I was reading, where they were having an outbreak also?
Well, that's probably because they got that serum with the genotype alteration, see? And see, it's crazy. But hey, this is not an isolated thing. December 2013, British Columbia, Canadian report also spilled the beans that there was a measles outbreak from the vaccinated patients 5 weeks after they got vaccinated. So they stated that 5 weeks post MMR vaccine On just the first dose, forget the boosters, just the first dose, these two-year-old kids were shedding the virus like crazy and infecting themselves and other people, and they created an outbreak. So they said in natural cases of measles, the incubation period is 8 to 12 weeks, not 5 weeks. Also, the vaccine caused an extended infection. They learned that it went beyond 21 days, and people were contagious for a full 30 days. Crazy, you know?
Well, my question is, when we were kids, we had measles.
Yeah, it's not a deadly thing for healthy people. If you've got malnourished people, then it can be a problem, you know, the childhood illnesses. Here is a quote from Eurosurveillance, December 2013. They said, measles-containing vaccines are used globally and have been used in British Columbia since 1969, and they do have a safety record, which is monitored by the AEFI surveillance. A rash or mild clinical illness following an MMR vaccine is common. Clinically significant vaccine-associated illnesses are rare. However, there occurs to be an indistinguishable form of measles compared to a natural measles cases that we see a genotype change. Now, that was 2013. Okay. Here is another article. They say, we documented prolonged shedding of the measles vaccine virus by a host of vaccine factors. There was a twofold rise in measles-specific antibodies by the vaccine-mediated immune response. So the vaccine itself was found, they said, to handle by strict protocols, so there was no contamination, to be a factor in causing this measles outbreak. They say, we conclude that the vaccine-associated illnesses and physicians need to be aware and be able to identify the difference between wild-type natural infections and vaccine-type infections in order to prevent massive spread of the disease in prolonged time frames. So vaccines are causing disease, guys.
Huh.
Mm. So you have to ask now. They also found, get this, in the MMR vaccine, they found the herpes virus.
Well, that's no fun.
Well, you have to ask, why are you putting, the chickenpox virus in there? I mean, because you're already giving kids a separate chickenpox virus, infection with the vaccine. And you're also giving adults the shingles vaccine. So why are you adding more chickenpox viruses here? Adding the viruses is causing possibly a cross reaction with the measles. That's what they're wondering about. But no lab has admitted that yet. Okay. If we look at another shifting gears, we go to the Gardasil vaccine. A lot of reports on that. They were wondering over in Japan, where there was a bunch of girls that were damaged by the vaccine, if maybe it was an accident, maybe it was a contaminated batch. But one Japanese doctor, director of the Milford Medical Laboratory in Japan, Dr. Sinhang Lee, he wanted to test and see, and he investigated what's up with this Gardasil thing. And so he got 13 different serum lots of Gardasil, and he tested it, and this is what he found. He said, I found HPVL1 gene DNA fragments and HPV DNA fragments that were bound to an aluminum adjuvant, which formed a non-B conformation to create a new chemical compound of unknown toxicity. It is my opinion this unknown compound that is creating an array of autoimmune illness in patients that are experiencing these symptoms following the vaccination with the Gardasil. Female patients have suffered from long-term pain, inflammatory lesions in the brain, discovered from MRI scans, sudden unexplained death, and biopsy reveals immune cells and demyelination in the brain. Wow. Powerful serum to kind of tear up your brain there.
I can't remember. What was Gardasil for? Cancer?
Papilloma, cervical cancer.
Cervical cancer.
Now, Dr. Lee did publish his research in the Journal of Advances in Bioscience and Biotechnology, and then opponents attempted to ruin him. Now, more victims are joining the lawsuits in Japan, but then we go to Bogota, Colombia. Hundreds of parents protested in the streets demanding adequate medical treatment for over 800 female children damaged by the Gardasil vaccine. The parents stood up to the Colombian National Institute of Health, and they got their country to suspend the use of the vaccine until it was investigated, because the parents refused to accept the medical establishment excuse that their children were imagining their health problems and were simply hysterical. Can you believe
what,
that?
You know what is amazing, though, and nobody questions it. I mean, there's countries, European countries, you know, they rule against GMOs. They rule against, like, Roundups, knowing the Roundup from the weed killer and so forth.
Yeah, glyphosate. You know,
and it's they at least outlaw and so forth. But here it's just open
apathy.
Arms.
It's apathy. Is what it is.
I mean, I don't think, you know, I don't know. I don't have a medical degree and so forth, and what you read and so forth are from a lot of medical different journals and so forth, and you know, established ones. And it's just like, I don't understand, like, where that gentleman did that testing on those instead of having been read. There's no one else to say, well, you know what? Maybe we should take a look at it.
Well, here,
because it all comes down to the almighty dollar.
Right. Well, another expert did take a look at it. This is Dr. Yehuda Schofield. He's an autoimmune expert in Israel. He kind of picked up what Dr. Lee was saying. He tested the Gardasil. He said, "I would not recommend Gardasil vaccine to my own daughter. Very unlikely that the symptoms that present after receiving this vaccine are due to physiological or psychological reasons, especially when these symptoms are occurring in different parts of the world. So when I tested the Gardasil, I gave it to mice, and guess what? They experienced the same symptoms as our female patients. Since I have never heard of a single case of mice hysteria, I would have to conclude that the clinical science on this vaccine is misleading. Neurological damage and death is not worth any benefit, real or imagined, in taking this vaccine."
But I mean, if the government is enforcing these to be, you know, they should, you know, they should take these other sides and have it investigated and so forth.
I know, we got the wrong people in power, don't we? Well, you know, especially
And you know what, and I was thinking about vaccines, and, you know, I've had experiences with children with polio, and it's, you know, many, many, many years ago. And, you know, to me, and, you know, I know I've asked you about it, and you've said differently, but I think polio vaccines have eradicated polio.
Well, polio is a problem if you don't have your tonsils. It's the only gland in your body that makes an antibody for polio. So you see polio epidemics when you see tonsillectomies happening.
No, I'm talking about babies being born with polio.
Oh, okay.
You know, we're out of time. Give your contact info.
All right, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Talk to you later.
Thank you,
bye.
Wendy.
Bye.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And visit the website. It's been a hectic week, ladies and gentlemen, last week, this week, and not that it isn't always, but it's just a little more hectic than usual. And the U.S. trade deficit fell in January, Dave. Dropped sharply in January to $51.15 billion as exports rebounded from a slowdown at the end of 2018. Economists surveyed by Dow Jones had forecast that the balance fell to $57 billion in January from 59.9. So it's looking like a 14.6% decline, the sharpest drop since March of 2018. And is this coming from the efforts of the administration to level the playing field?
That's a good question. I mean, on the one hand, China represented a good chunk of the reduction in the trade balance shortfall. You know, that deficit decreased $5.5 billion to $33.2 billion. You know, as imports fell 12.2% to just about $41 billion. We do know that Treasury Secretary Mnuchin and U.S. Trade Rep Lighthizer are going back to the negotiating table tomorrow with Chinese officials. So we'll see if their talks result in some additional progress. Not to mention a resolution to that. That whole issue, which is still being seen as a drag on the U.S. and the global economy in general, given the uncertainty surrounding the outcome there. So, to answer your question, yeah, I think it had some effect, but it's just 1 month, and I think we'll have to wait and see what the long term impact is going to be only after this trade spat is taken care of.
Well, another good sign might be mortgage applications. It seems like they jumped. Mortgage rates dropped to the lowest level in more than a year. And mortgage applications jumped almost 9% last week from the previous week. And actually 5.7% from a year earlier. So that's good news. Both refinance and purchase applications surged, but the more rate-sensitive refis were the real leader. Those applications jumped 12% for the week and were 8.5% higher than a year ago. We talked about it the last time. To me, that just doesn't make sense. But for much of last year, the refinance market was minimal, down dramatically from 2017 as rates rose. So the only way I could figure that out is if there was a certain period of time that has elapsed where people got mortgages back in 28, 29, 2010, and their credit was just so bad, they couldn't refinance. So they worked on it and improving their credit, and now all of a sudden they're all refinancing. But I mean, rates have been extremely low. So again, but anyway, that's just me.
Well, it's certainly plausible what you're saying.
You know, I'm just trying to make a little bit of sense out of it, because we've been having the lowest rates in history, at least in our lifetime. And so what are you refinancing from? You have to have at least a full percentage point for it to make any difference at all in your payment. So, you know, and we've been, so, yeah. So a few little bit of rate decreases here just doesn't seem to make sense. But anyway, that's my thought, Dave.
Well, you know, the Fed's announcement last Wednesday that it doesn't expect to raise rates anymore this year, that could account for the 30-year fixed rate dropping 10 basis points over the past week. Some, as we are hearing this week, are now suggesting that's including the presumptive nominee to the Federal Reserve Board, Stephen Moore, who we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show, who's calling for a 0.5% cut in the rate. And that obviously could lower mortgage rates even further. Bond yields falling further, and concerns of slowing economic growth overseas. You know, we tell listeners that mortgage rates follow the yield in the 10-year Treasury note, which is depressed these days. And home buyers reacted positively, with purchase applications going up 6% for the week and 4% higher on an annualized basis.
Well, you know, the consumer confidence is still, you know, maintaining some relatively strong levels. There's a survey of 800 people across the country shows that half believe the economy is in excellent or good shape. Of course, that's unchanged from the fourth quarter of 2018, but it's down from 58% in the third quarter. So the decline tracks the slowing of growth in the economy over the past year. So economic optimism took a hit, with 31% saying that the economy will get better in the next year, and that was unchanged from the last quarter. But it was down 36% in the third quarter. So, you know, despite the drop in views on the current and expected state of the economy, the levels remain high by historic standards.
Yeah, now 40% of those surveyed look for their wages to rise in the next year. That's down 2 points from last year's high, but it's up 4% from the four quarters before the 2016 presidential election. Now, optimism in the stock market followed a path more linked to the market's performance than the overall economy. We're not even going to go to that part of the survey, because I think it's just based on a lot of speculation. But 31% of Americans reported they had more take-home pay last year from the tax cuts. That's down 34% in June, and certainly a far cry from what had been promised the working people of the country when the tax cuts were proposed and adopted in December of 2017. And just 1 in 5, Melody, say they've personally benefited from the tax cuts, while about 2/3 of Americans believe large corporations and the wealthy have largely benefited.
And you know what, I saw a headline today, I didn't have a chance to read the article, but it was along the lines of hourly wages of people, if it matched Wall Street, would receive $33 an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, ladies and gentlemen, that $33 an hour, you know, the reality of it is the inflation. It's because we have a fiat dollar that, you know, that's, you know, yes, they make big bucks and so forth. But reality is, you know, the 15 and the 20 and the it's all about your dollar's not buying anything anymore. But yeah, $33 an hour and I thought 33 would be low, being in comparing Wall Street, and we know what they usually make, you know. So I thought 33 seemed low, but you know, I mean, they make more than attorneys, and attorneys get $150 an hour. So,
to start,
a good one gets $500 or $1,000 an hour. So, yeah, there's a lot of $150 attorneys out there. Anyway, bond market. We all know that last week the Fed, the Fed Chair Jerome Powell. His assertion this week with the U.S. economy remains strong. Short-term government fixed income yields are now ahead of the longer part of the curve, and it is delivering a strong recession indication that this hasn't happened since 2007. We have the spread between the 3-month and the 10-year Treasury notes that just broke the longest streak ever of being above 10 basis points, or 0.1 percentage point. Now, these two maturities were last below that level in September 2007, a run of 3,009 trading days. And these two maturities inverted Friday morning. I mentioned it Friday on the short segment of the program, and a near-perfect sign that a recession is coming. An inverted yield curve does not mean a recession is imminent, but that one is likely over the next year or so.
Yeah, you know, you talked about the 3-month versus the 10-year today. I mean, on Friday, the 3-month was at 2.468, while the benchmark 10-year was around 2.44. Now, economists see the yield curve move as a dark signal for the economy that's coming off its perceived best year since the recovery began 10 years ago. Yield curves are responding to what they see, to what many analysts believe is a global economic slowdown. You know, Peter Buchvar, who's the CIO of the Bleakley Advisory Group, said, you don't see this kind of move in curves, not just here, but everywhere, unless you get one. That is a global economic slowdown / recession. Now, short-term yields moving ahead of their longer duration counterparts is seen as a sign that growth will be higher now than it will be in the future.
Well, you know, everyone at the Fed, including Powell, you know, they all said the U.S. economy is in a good place. I don't know what that means, in a good place, but still facing pressure from slowdowns in China and, of course, Europe. And so GDP was lowered, and then you have Stephen Moore. As you mentioned his name just a little bit ago, he's the Federal Reserve nominee. Stephen Moore thinks that the Fed should cut rates by 0.5 percentage point. But I think there's a lot of Wall Streeters, too, that have been talking about, you know, that the Fed's going to have to cut rates, or that's the direction that they're heading. And, of course, we know President Trump nominated him last week for the Fed governorship. And shortly after the Fed enacted its fourth rate hike of 2018 in December, Moore wrote in a Heritage blog post that Powell should do the honorable thing and resign. And so I'm not sure. I remember President Trump talking about things that, you know, Powell should do things and so forth and whatnot. So Moore is certainly supporting the president's agenda.
Yes, indeed. Now, you know, let me, before we go on to the next story, if you don't mind, I wanted to just point out another story that I saw after the today's program started, and that's about American corporations having dramatically increased the amount of offshore profit they brought back to the U.S. last year. But it turns out it's not nearly as much as the White House had predicted as part of the $1 trillion tax cut program in late 2017. Now, according to Commerce Department data that came out today, companies brought back about $665 billion for all of 2018. Trump had pledged that companies would bring back $4 trillion that in turn would spur U.S. job and investment growth. In 2017, companies brought back $155 billion. So it's clear that, you know, that tax cut provision did have an effect, just not nearly the amount that White House economists had been promising. Now, it turns out that you know, a lot of the money that was brought home went to stock buybacks. That's according to the Fed study that was released late last year. We know that buybacks hit a record $1.1 trillion in 2018 and could very easily surpass that level again this year. Some have estimated that American companies held between $1 and $2.5 trillion in cash offshore before the December 2017 tax cuts. Melody.
How much did they bring back last year, did you say?
That was $665 billion.
So not even $1 trillion, and we were being told that there was $3 trillion sitting over there.
Four
trillion.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. So, you know, the difference still may be over there. It ain't coming back so far.
Very interesting. And again, that was trillions of dollars that was supposed to trickle down to the American people, as in the form of jobs. And it's kind of interesting. I don't know. You know what I see happening, Dave? I mean, with this talk, with more going in there, and with talks of rate cuts, no more rate increases, possibly rate cuts. We're seeing, I mean, look at the 10-year just falling out of bed. I mean, that is only good. It seems like we have an election coming. And usually you see things adjusting to the economy from, you know, whatever administration, you know, it doesn't matter which side, you know, that they want to pump up the economy that last year, that going into the election. Well, here it seems we're a year in advance ahead of that.
So I know, right?
The big question is, are we going to be running out of steam? Are they doing all of this for this year? Because there's a whole nother, you know, 11 months. So kind of interesting. And what comes after this? Everybody talks about how the tax cuts, you know, what do you do in tax cuts when supposedly you have a strong economy? That's something you want to hold on to for when you need it. Same way with lowering, cutting tax or cutting rates. You want to hold it until you need it.
Yeah.
But if we're doing everything now, what's going to happen next year?
Yeah, consensus of economists already believe that rates aren't high enough to make a big impact once they, you know, begin to lower rates when the next recession hits.
Yes.
So, and you know, that leaves what Congress and fiscal policy to run yet even higher deficits to get that spending up.
So, I mean, usually you could look at an administration day prior to an election and kind of figure things out. Oh, well, yeah, we're sort of doing this one. I'm a little, it's a little more difficult to follow these dots. Anyway, the dots that we are going to follow is right into our break. So we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We have a special today. Usually when you go into fractional pieces, it costs more for your gold. The smaller you go, the more it costs. Well, we have a special on 1/2 ounce, 1/2 ounce American Gold Eagles at the same price as a 1 ounce American Gold Eagle. So it's quite a deal. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. So if we're looking at 13.10.59 divided by 2, your half-ounce American Gold Eagles would cost $685. Multiply that by 2, you get the same price as a 1 ounce American Gold Eagle. So we can't do it with tenths, and the quarter ounces are running short. So we can do this with the half-ounce American Gold Eagle. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. Well, Dave, not only is Wednesday your hump day, but it's also Brevity is Golden. And the largest T-Rex fossil is found in Canada.
How about that, Melody? I mean, move over, woolly mammoth.
Yeah.
You're so
on this trend here, you know.
you're so last week. I know. I'm fixated on prehistoric monsters right now. A fossil site in Canada has yielded the heaviest Tyrannosaurus rex specimen ever found, an animal that weighed an estimated 19,500 pounds in life, far heftier than most elephants alive today. Now, the dinosaur, which was unveiled last week in the Anatomical Record, consists of a skeleton that's about 65% complete, includes the skull and hips, along with some of its ribs, leg bones, and tail bones. Nicknamed Scotty, the Tyrannosaur was a senior by this species standards, making it to at least the ripe old age of 28. We'll have to look into the human versus T-Rex years. About 68 million years ago, the Canadian landscape Scotty knew was a subtropical coastal paradise, but life apparently was no vacation. This particular dinosaur's remains include a broken and healed rib, a massive growth of bone in between two teeth, that's a sign of infection, and broken tailbones possibly maimed by another T-Rex's bite. The find suggests that large predatory dinosaurs probably got older and bigger than paleontologists would have surmised based on currently available fossils. Now, you know, Scotty has actually been known to paleontologists since 1991. That's a long time, when its bones were initially dug up in Saskatchewan, Canada. To celebrate this T-Rex's discovery, the field crew wanted to raise a toast to the creature. By that point in the field season, all they had on hand to celebrate was a bottle of scotch, hence Scotty's nickname. There you go. So, by studying many living animals, scientists have found that the wider an animal's femur, the thigh bone, the more weight that the bone tends to hold up. Scotty's femur was a whopping 8 inches across. That's massive, which means that Scotty's two legs could hold up to more, could hold up more than 19,500 pounds, give or take a couple of tons. So there's some evidence that the Tyrannosaurus rexes may have been faster and more agile than other groups of large predatory dinosaurs, such as the earlier Allosaurs. Let's see. For now, study leader Scott Persons is going to remain on land. He's continuing to study Scotty's remains in detail, starting with the T-Rex's dramatic eye crests and flaring horns on the side of its skull. That's fascinating. He said the big thing that everyone's talking about is just how large this particular individual is. But my favorite part of the specimen, this is a person again, is actually the smaller details, which he calls the little bits of weirdness. And that, Melody, is this week's Brevity is Golden.
Well, stay tuned for Jurassic Park 10.
There you go. That's right. We're paving the way.
I did like that series. I did like the first one. I remember the first time. Yeah, it was very, very. I liked it anyway.
When Dr. Alan Grant lays his eyes on the brontosauruses for the first time, it's like it's just like the marvels of a child. It was a wonderful moment in movie land.
Well, getting back to some serious stuff here, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday with, you know, what's going on between India and Pakistan. But this I find interesting, and I didn't hear about this, where India has shot down one of its satellites in space with an anti-satellite missile today. This is from the Prime Minister, and he said that hailing the country's first test of such technology as a major breakthrough that establishes it as a space power. Who knew this would come from India? Well, India would be the fourth country to have used such an anti-satellite weapon after the U.S., Russia, and China, said Modi, who heads into the general elections next month. That's what it's all about. He said our scientists shot down a live satellite 300 kilometers away in space in low Earth orbit. India has made an unprecedented achievement today. India registered its name as a space power. And I guess anti-satellite weapons permit attacks on enemy satellites, blinding them or disrupting communications, as well as providing a technology base to intercept the ballistic missiles.
Well, yeah, I mean, such capabilities have raised fears of the continued weaponization of space and setting off, you know, additional rivalries. You know, after the news, China said it hoped all countries can earnestly protect lasting peace and tranquility in space. You know, don't mention, you know, their own country land and waterways, but the U.S. and Russia both declined to make any immediate comment. Now, India's neighbor and arch-rival Pakistan said space is the common heritage of mankind, and every nation has the responsibility to avoid actions which can lead to the militarization of this arena. You know, India's had a space program for a number of years, Melody, making Earth imaging satellites and launch capabilities as a cheaper alternative to Western programs. It sent a low-cost probe to Mars in 2014 and plans its first manned space mission by 2022. So, yeah,
that is the next frontier.
Another door opened.
Yes. And, you know, it's just, it is fascinating. And it's, I don't know how many satellites are up and, you know, for commercial, for government, I know there's a lot of them. And I just can't, it has to have some sort of impact on the planet, you would think, would you not?
Oh, well, sure. I mean, what goes up must come down. I mean, that alone, I mean, you know, not to mention, now that I read an article a couple of years ago that was in response to some concern at the time. I think it was a result of a hearing in the House or Senate that was concerned about the proliferation of all these satellites and the concern about radiation in particular leaking in back into our atmosphere. And at that time, what I forget the group that was responding to those concerns, saying that a lot of, you know, if most, if not all of that dissipates as it you know, returns to the Earth's atmosphere, and you know, they said, hey, it's not a worry. But even if that is the case, which I, you know, which I'm highly skeptical of, eventually one of them that falls back to Earth, you know, you just fear isn't going to break up completely, and it's going to hit someplace that we're going to regret. Now, I'm just reading real quickly before you get back to the story. 20,000 satellites are orbiting the Earth.
I thought that was more than that, but
Well, you know, it could be. That was as of April of last year.
Mm. Still a lot. Still a lot, but wow. Hmm. Well, thank you for bringing, you know, thank you for letting, that is fascinating. And you wonder how much is up there that's not counted for, like governments and, you know, the Star Wars that Reagan put up there.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's still circulating or.
But
anyway, there's a lot of talk. We talked about it yesterday also about Israel and Palestinian forces. Schools did reopen today in southern Israel, but traffic certainly clogged Gaza streets today, and signs of a pullback from the most serious escalation of cross-border fighting in months. But violence has eased amid Egyptian mediation. Israeli forces and Palestinian militants were on hair trigger footing. You had rocket attacks from Gaza and Israeli airstrikes, and the enclave briefly resuming late on Tuesday after a day-long lull. Despite dozens of rocket launchings and Israeli attacks, no deaths have been reported. Israelis' Iron Dome anti-missile interceptors have destroyed some of the rockets, and the Palestinian militants have vacated the facilities. Southern Israel today, or towns in southern Israel where rocket warning sirens have disrupted daily life since the current round of fighting began on Monday, as I mentioned, did reopen the classrooms in Gaza.
Yeah, it's tense over there. I mean, you got Israeli troops and its tanks deployed along the border. You know, Israel and Gaza's Hamas made clear that attacks by the other side wouldn't be tolerated. You know, and even if the crisis subsides in the short run, it could overshadow Israel's upcoming election on April 9th. Benjamin Netanyahu's campaign on a tough security platform. And, you know, although others in Israel are saying it's time for a change after a, you know, a 10-plus year reign, he still remains pretty popular despite the indictments that are overshadowing his future. So, you know, Israel says its use of lethal force is meant to stop attempts to breach the border and launch attack on its troops and civilians. Of course, the protesters are demanding the right to return to the lands that Palestinians fled or were forced to leave in Israel during fighting that occurred around its founding way back in 1948.
Well, you know, today we have about 2 minutes. President Trump today called on Russia to pull its troops from Venezuela and warned that all options were open to make that happen. Russia has to get out, Trump told reporters in the Oval Office, where he met with Fabiana Rosales, the wife of Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Hokkaido. Two Russian Air Force planes landed outside Caracas on Saturday. The U.S. government believes the troops include special forces and cybersecurity personnel, and asked how he would make Russian forces leave. Trump said, "We'll see. All options are open."
Well. Yeah, I mean, Vice President Pence also met with the president, with Ms. Rosales, to express support for her husband. And, you know, Pence specifically said the U.S. views Russia's arrival of military planes this weekend as an unwelcome provocation. Well, with 100 Russian troops on those planes, you can see that grabbing the attention of our leadership. So,
I know.
It's not ramping down. Let's put it that way. Stay
what
tuned for.
I want to know is what is she doing here? You know.
Well, anyway. I'm sure it was easier for her to come rather than her husband in terms of him getting back into the country. Given the military's still supporting Maduro.
Anyway, let's see. We got one more minute. North Korea activities inconsistent with pledge to denuke. And, of course, this is we had the summit last month, how that broke down between President Trump and Kim Jong-un over the differences about U.S. demands for North Korea to rid itself of nuclear weapons. And so there have been various reports from South Korea's intelligence service that activity at a factory near Pyongyang, that produced North Korea's first intercontinental ballistic missiles. And however, the South Korea's defense minister did say it was premature to say whether recent activity at these facilities involved preparations for a missile launch. So, you know, I've seen a lot of reports that this is happening, they're getting ready, but we really, you know, it is a little premature to know whether they, if that's what they're doing or not. But I think we're out of time. I don't hear the music, so we'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
If I got me a wealthy man.